Season 8, Episode 18 today for you of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters, your spot to catch all the games this season. Try our world-famous wings, delicious seafood stack sandwiches, salads, and more. Remember, tons of great beer specials as well. $6 drinks all day, every day. Thanks to Hooters for their continued presenting sponsorship and their support, obviously, of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com for your fantasy questions. You can follow me on Instagram at ToddWright2121 as well as Facebook. I'm simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. Continuing our theme this week using some recent positional rankings from the great Matthew Berry, who we talk about often here on the podcast now with NBC Sports. You see him on Peacock, you see him online, you see him on the Sunday night football coverage, Football Night in America on NBC. And these were rankings that were posted last weekend. We've been using them. Nothing notable has really changed as far as these rankings. And if so, we will talk about them. You can factor in your own decisions. And one particular area, I would think something is different. So let's talk about it. We've already used the quarterback rankings for a podcast. We will use the wide receiver / tight end rankings for tomorrow's podcast. Let's talk the running backs. Many of you have been sending me questions about running backs. I have, of course, talked in varying degrees using other talking points about what did players produce in terms of my scoring settings last year? What did Fantasy Football Calculator say about mock drafts using data from over 3,000 earlier this month? And this week, we're using some Matthew Berry rankings that you can find yourself at NBCSports.com as talking points. Christian McCaffrey, number one on the running back board for Matthew Berry. I agree. I agree with the questions that are out there for non-keeper leagues. I don't play in keeper leagues. I respect those of you who do. I understand them. I just choose to hit the reset button every year, and my players seem to enjoy doing that as well. The debate has been McCaffrey or Jefferson in terms of the first pick. I've seen a lot of that online, on social media, in discussion. We aren't at that point anymore, and I've been telling you about this for years now, where it's just all these running backs in the first two rounds, but McCaffrey still holding as the top running back and most likely the one in the argument to go first overall because of his talent, because he's on a good team now, because of his overall usage. He has had some injury concerns in recent years, but the numbers last year, even switching teams, were very good. It looks like things are going to be fine with the Niners quarterback situation, so you can't knock McCaffrey down. You know, if you're going to say, well, I'm not drafting him first overall, then don't. Then don't. If you feel stronger about Justin Jefferson at number one, go ahead and do that. I've been asked this question, and most of you know how much I've talked up Justin Jefferson the last couple of years, probably so much to where players who listen to this podcast competing against me in leagues have selected Jefferson a little bit earlier because I haven't gotten him as much as I've wanted, say, last year. But I would probably go McCaffrey over Jefferson if I have the number one pick. It's never my desired position to be picking number one. I'm one of those that would rather have two picks closer together in the first and second round rather than the long wait on the wraparound to pick my second and third player. But I agree with Matthew Berry, McCaffrey, number one running back overall. Second, he has Eckler there. I've not been an Eckler owner or a fan. I threw out an opinion that was wrong on Veasan after his first 2 weeks last year, you know, that clearly the first 2 weeks had shown me enough to say, hey, if you could sell high on Austin Eckler, go do it. Now, if someone did sell high on him and you got a great return, good for you. But Eckler off a phenomenal 2021, even though he had a slow start to 2022. And Justin Herbert's numbers moved a little bit backwards in terms of fantasy production. Eckler's numbers last year were even better than 2021. He now has some financial incentives in his deal that seem to motivate him to be at his best. You know, Kellen Moore got a lot out of Tony Pollard. I would imagine Kellen Moore is just going to mean more good things for Austin Eckler. So, two, maybe eye-opening to some. And again, I'm not a huge fan. But if Eckler fell into my lap, I'd love to have him as an RB1. I really would, based on the production the last 2 years. Matthew Berry has Bijan Robinson at three. I totally get this. I really do. And there aren't many scenarios where I draft a rookie in a fantasy draft. But I've already talked about Bijan agreeing with the theory that Bijan Robinson is going to be a first-round fantasy draft pick. It just feels like Arthur Smith is going to use him the way Arthur Smith used Derrick Henry and more because of Robinson's ability to run routes and his hands. And I think this also speaks to, just my opinion, the fact that Desmond Ridder doesn't look the part to me. So the ball in Robinson's hands makes a ton of sense. And his share of the offense for the Falcons should be extremely high. Saquon Barkley, four. I received an email asking me about Barkley versus Chubb, and I actually said I would take Barkley over Chubb, but not by much, and I talked about why. So I'll just talk about it here. You know, Barkley wasn't thrilled about being franchised, but then settled. He didn't sign the franchise tag. He signed a one-year deal that had a little more money in it, not much. I mean, more to you and me. But Barkley's playing for his next contract, seemed to be happy with the money he got. This was a while ago, well before the situations with Jonathan Taylor and Josh Jacobs. And you just look at the continuity of the head coach, the offensive coordinator, the quarterback returning, the running back returning. I think the Giants are moving in a great direction. I think they're very undervalued overall as a team in terms of how good they are. I think they can win the NFC East. I'm not saying Philly won't. I'm just saying the Giants could. Let's remember, I think, I forget what the sample size was, but over a number of recent years, the NFC East was like the third best division in football in recent time. The teams were just really, really good, and the Giants went to Minnesota and beat the Vikings pretty handily before the Eagles took them out. A very well-rested Eagles team, a very well-rested Jalen Hurts in the divisional round. So, yeah, I'd go Barkley over Chubb. I have some concerns about Chubb in the Deshaun Watson offense. I have some concerns that Kevin Stefanski is going to keep his job. Chubb is a great running back. I just wonder how this is going to play out in Cleveland. So based on that, I understand Chubb at five. You know, this is one where I choose Barkley over Chubb, but it's not as if I'm not drafting Chubb if I can get him. Someone asked me about, I said Chubb could be a solid RB2. Oh, hell yes, he can be a solid RB2. But I understand why Matthew Berry has him at five. Tony Pollard is at six. I just say this about Pollard, and you all know I'm a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, and I've seen this before, and I'm not saying everything is identical. You know how we talked about recently how wide receiver ones have disproven any thought you downgrade them when they change teams based on the performance of DeAndre Hopkins going from Houston to Arizona and then later Tyreek Hill from KC to Miami or AJ Brown from Tennessee to Philadelphia, Stephon Diggs from Minnesota to Buffalo. RB2s becoming RB1s, I don't think it's as seamless. Pollard is coming off a broken leg. There is a change in the play calling. Sure, Pollard should get more opportunities with Ezekiel Elliott no longer taking the early down or goal line work. But I think there are just some things we don't know yet as it relates to Pollard. Matthew Berry has him at 6. I respect that. I might take Derrick Henry over Pollard. He has Henry at 7 because, as I've talked about here, you all know how Henry is my man crush, and I think this is it. I think, you know, if you've ever watched the show The Good Place, before, there's a relationship between Kristen Bell and this sort of philosophy guy named Chidi, and they're very happy together until one's just like, it's time, and he walks through the door, and that's it. I think Henry could be walking through the door after this year. I hope I'm wrong. It's been a hell of a run. But yeah, I would put Henry above Pollard. Personally, Matthew Berry has Pollard 6, Henry 7, I would probably go. I'm still tempted to take Henry in the first round. I see more and more when I look at some data, Henry falling to the end of the first round. I love this scenario. I don't think players in my league are going to let it happen, knowing what I get out of Derrick Henry on almost an annual basis. Granted, I had to play my opponent in the Foundation League Championship last year, got there because of Derrick Henry. So I think the value is still very high. Jonathan Taylor at 8. Where are we going here? You're not sure what's going on with that ankle, what's going on with his mind, what team he's going to be on. I tend to agree with the theory out there via ProFootballTalk.com that the Colts have said to Jonathan Taylor and his representation, you have permission to seek a trade because they want Taylor and his camp to see that his value in trade to the Colts isn't what they need for a player of his caliber. So in the end, I think Taylor does play for the Colts, but I worry about the ankle. I don't think they're a very good team. They're very thin on the offensive line. Anthony Richardson, more often than not, may have the ball in his hands to make plays. So at this point, I'm more wait and see on Taylor. Granted, none of my drafts are this week. We'll see. But at this point, I'd be very cautious. Matthew Berry had him at 8 last weekend. Josh Jacobs at 9. We hear Jacobs is going to come in. He's going to, you know, be there for the start of the season. You wonder how much you'll get out of him, say the first week. But you would think that Josh McDaniels would want to hand him the ball a significant amount as long as he's in football shape from the beginning if Jacobs gets in. But you're dealing with some things there as well. Joe Mixon at 10, been a very productive player in recent years. Zach Taylor knows how to use him. We are hearing better things on Joe Burrow. I have tempered expectations of Joe Mixon, but I don't think the Bengals would have kept him, albeit on a pay cut, if they didn't think he could still help them in a similar way as they've been a Super Bowl contending team the last couple of years. ETN is 11. There's some concern that Tank Bigsby is going to take some touches away from ETN in Jacksonville. I think that's a legitimate concern. It might be offset by the fact that the Jaguars are going to be good. We know they're good coming off last year. We expect them to be good. They might be even better. So Matthew Berry has ETN at 11. Jahmyr Gibbs at 12. Yeah, someone asked me recently about David Montgomery. And I always talk about Montgomery being a great athlete. I just think it's going to be tough to keep Gibbs off the field in Detroit, you know? And I'm not a big fan of the Lions, but they're going to put up points. They have an offensive coordinator who likes working with Goff. They got to replace 17 rushing touchdowns from Williams. Gibbs feels like he was drafted to fill a specific role. So I think there's, you know, while there's an obvious reason to draft Bijan Robinson early, I don't see Gibbs going in the first round of fantasy drafts, but if someone's drafting him to be a fringe RB1 or their RB2, you know, Matthew Berry basically has him as a fringe RB1 at number 12. I get it. He has Ramondre Stevenson at 13, which technically these rankings came out after Ezekiel Elliott was signed. Ramondre's percentage when getting the ball on a rushing attempt in either inside the five or goal to go situations was one of the worst in the NFL next year. Ezekiel Elliott was specifically brought in for that purpose, to finish drives by Bill Belichick. So I think Ramondre's value is hurt by healthy Ezekiel Elliott. Barry has Breece Hall at 14. Is Breece Hall ready to go from the get, or is that why the Jets brought in Dalvin Cook? Exciting player. At one point, right, during this camp, there was talk about he just doesn't have that confident feel. He can do some things that he did prior to the injury. Again, this all might be why. I don't think they brought in Dalvin Cook not to use him. So I would not have Hall ranked this high because of the Dalvin Cook signing. Then Najee Harris at 15. What Najee Harris are you getting? The 2021 Najee Harris, who touched the ball an insane amount and was very productive, or the Najee Harris in 2022, who kind of only got you by near the end of the season as the Steelers were making a push to avoid a losing season, which Mike Tomlin has never had. I don't think the Steelers will have a losing season, but I'm also not ready to proclaim that this is going to be a big-time offense. But there's Najee Harris at 15 in the rankings. And Jaylen Warren's still there. There still seems to be a reason he's there in Pittsburgh. Alexander Mattison, 16. When the Vikings let Cook go, we knew this was going to be the case. Mattison has had some great fantasy games when Cook has missed games. But now, much like, can he go from an RB2 to an RB1? I'm not sure. I don't imagine he's going to be able to sustain what he's done in spot duty. While I expect him to be good, and I expect the Vikings to be a good team. Another guy who wasn't good in short yardage or goal-to-go situations when getting the rock was Walker, which is a surprise considering the numbers he put up once he got in the lineup for Seattle last year. Barry has him ranked 17. Then he has Aaron Jones after him at 18. I've seen more from Aaron Jones than I have from Walker. And Aaron Jones just, look, Walker had some big games too. Man, isn't it what, two or three times a year, if you're in a head-to-head season league, doesn't Aaron Jones just outright win you a game? You're watching the Packers, and they won't be in prime time. Well, without Aaron Rodgers, they might not be in prime time quite as much, but they're still the Packers. They have a national fan base. And I think they're better than most are giving them credit. And Aaron Jones just goes off. Now, without Aaron Rodgers, what does that mean? So we can factor that in. But I like Aaron Jones. Matthew Berry has him at 18. I think that's a little low. Damian Pierce, 19 for the Texans. I don't have a lot to say about Texans at this point. Entire coaching staff change in Houston. So many other changes. Not sure what it means for Pierce, who was pretty solid for a while last year and then kind of disappeared for games at the end of the season. Blame loser Lovie Smith. James Conner at 20. You know, again, bad team. Connor is someone who in recent years has gotten in the end zone a lot, but can Arizona, with whoever is quarterbacking them for however long until Kyler Murray comes back, if there's a reason to bring him back this year, can they get close enough to the end zone to use James Conner in those situations? Cam Akers at 21. I mean, it's interesting here. Let's just go four deep here. Matthew Berry's number 19, 20, 21, and 22. So technically, these are all low-end RB2s, according to Matthew Berry. None of them on good teams. Pierce, Houston, Conner, Arizona, Akers, Rams. That's a real wild card. And then Sanders at 22. Now, I'm inclined to buy Sanders a little more than some of the others. He's coming off a big year. I want to believe that Carolina is going to be a good team. But clearly Sanders isn't operating behind as good of an offensive line. And without a quarterback threat, established quarterback threat, the way Jalen Hurts is. I would think Miles Sanders could be a better RB2 than, say, a Damian Pierce or a James Conner, because I think Carolina is trending in the right direction with all these changes. I think they've kind of built this offense from the ground up. Isaiah Pacheco, 23. That'd be a lot higher on my list. Yeah, and look, McKinnon is still there, who had, back-to-back double touchdown games, you know, right as you were hitting your fantasy playoffs or late in the regular season last year. But, man, the Chiefs like Pacheco, and I think they'll use him as much or even more this year. Mahomes likes short, ever since Tyreek Hill's moved on, a significant amount of Mahomes' passes don't travel very far. So it stands to reason that Pacheco is going to be on the receiving end of some of those because he's coming out of the backfield. I like him a lot. There's David Montgomery at 24. I'm a fan of the player, not the situation, because of who's, quote, with him on the depth chart in the rookie Gibbs. James Cook at 25, no thanks. I drafted him in all my leagues last year. He wasn't on my team by the end of the season. It's not like Buffalo went out and, you know, they didn't sign Dalvin Cook. They didn't sign Ezekiel Elliott. They didn't, as at the time of this podcast, they haven't traded for Jonathan Taylor. I think the Bills want the ball in Josh Allen's hand. And Josh Allen is going to get you rushing touchdowns and rushing yards. I'm not convinced James Cook is. Dalvin Cook at 26 feels too low. That, in Matthew Berry's rankings, and that might have been, although it was posted after the Cook signing with the Jets, but I have to assume that some things are tweaked here. You have to think Dalvin Cook is at least an RB2 for all the things he did in Minnesota and how the Jets are going all in this year. Rashad White, 27. I've seen that even lower. I think I did a recent fantasy football calculator, and I put in my scoring settings, non-PPR, and just said spit out the running backs and how they're coming off the board in mock drafts, and Rashad White was coming off the board 31. The Bucs' offensive line is awful. And it seems to have been made worse by moving Wirfs from a position he was very good at. He's kind of learning the left tackle position now on the fly. Better than most at left tackle, but your Ryan Jensen isn't going to go week one. There have been some very bad things in the preseason games. So no thanks on Rashad White. J.K. Dobbins, I generally stay away from Ravens running backs because Lamar does most of the running. You'll get games where a Ravens running back, you know, gets 100 and a touch or two, but it doesn't seem very consistent. Javonte Williams, Denver. I mean, what year is this? At this point, I don't think I have any I'm drafting any Broncos. And I know with Sean Payton there, things are going to be better. But I kind of want to see it rather than invest a draft pick in it. Once I identify who the Bronco players are that are healthy and productive, then I go make a move for him, either via an affordable trade that makes sense to me or find someone on waivers. Alvin Kamara at 30, going to be suspended to start the year. Williams is there. Kamara was one of those examples I told you. Once he went from RB2 to RB1, and his fantasy production has been very good, but it wasn't an enormous spike, especially with Breeze and Peyton gone. DeAndre Swift at 31, presumably the first guy to get the Miles Sanders work in Philadelphia, but near the goal line, if they have the ball at the 1 yard line, we all know what play they're running. They're running Jalen Hurts in the rugby formation. It's not DeAndre Swift. Antonio Gibson, 32. No, I would rather go Brian Robinson for the early down work. And he's not coming off a gunshot wound to start the season this year. P. Ryan for Denver at 33. You already heard my comments about the Broncos. A.J. Dillon at 34. Here we go. A.J. Dillon, if we could do a draft just before Halloween, A.J. Dillon is worth drafting, because it just seems like A.J. Dillon is a guy, if you draft him, it's almost like drafting an injured player. How long are you going to hold on to him? Because he's not going to be productive for the first couple of months. Charbonnet, Seattle, 36. I'm not really sure what to make of that. Rashad Penny, 37. There's McKinnon, 38. Jamal Williams, 39 for New Orleans. That seems low. Ezekiel Elliott, 40. He's going to get touchdowns in New England. He will. And we'll stop there. I mean, that's 40 players. Rest of the list. Khalil Herbert, so undervalued. If the Bears do the Jonathan Taylor thing, I hope the Colts get Herbert back. I'll just say that. Then Damian Harris, Warren, there's Tank Bigsby. Elijah Mitchell can't stay healthy for four games in a row. Gainwell, the Eagles love him. Gainwell, he's one of those sort of desperate plug-and-play fantasy running backs. You don't draft him. You pick him up and plug him and play him when you have other injuries, because the Eagles trust him to get them first downs, to not miss blocks, blitz pickups, and to make big plays. It's not sustainable week to week fantasy wise. Let's see. Yeah, that's about enough. I think Jeff Wilson at 53 is too low for Miami, especially below Leonard Fournette, who doesn't even have a team at this point. All right, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Let's wrap this one up. We'll talk wide receivers and tight ends based on Matthew Berry's positional rankings on tomorrow's podcast to end the week. Remember, Hooters is celebrating 40 years in honor of the anniversary on the 4th of every month. Hooters will be hosting throwback events, bringing the 80s back with 83-cent wings and other great specials. We will be at Hooters for our fantasy draft. For more information, email me at write.todd@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you tomorrow.